Salim. On the cooking pot.
On the cooking pot.
Agni tapat.
Agni tapat.
Because of the heat of the fire.
Because of the heat of the fire.
Payasha.
Payasha.
The milk put into the pot.
The milk put into the pot.
Abi tapa.
Abi tapa.
Becomes hot.
Becomes hot.
Tat tapata.
Tapata.
Because of the milk becoming hot.
Because of the milk becoming hot.
Tandula garbandradi.
Tandula garbandradi.
The center of the rice within the milk becomes cooked.
The center of the rice within the milk becomes cooked.
Deha indriya ashvashaya.
Deha indriya ashvashaya.
The bodily senses.
The bodily senses.
Sannikarshat.
Sannikarshat.
From having connections with. Tatsam shmiti.
Tatsam shmiti.
The experience of fatigue and other anxieties.
The experience of fatigue and other anxieties.
Purushasya,
Purushasya
of the soul.
Anirodat,
from compliance, due to being grossly attached, to the body, senses, and mind. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. King Rahugana continued, "My dear sir, you have said that designations like bodily fatness and thinness are not characteristics of the soul. That is incorrect, because designations like pain and pleasure are certainly felt by the soul. You may put a pot of milk and rice within fire, and the milk and rice are automatically heated, one after the other. Similarly, due to bodily pains and pleasures, the senses, mind, and soul are affected. The soul cannot be completely detached from this conditioning." This argument put forth by Maharaj Rahugana is correct from the practical point of view, but it arises from an attachment to the bodily conception. It can be said that a person sitting in his car is certainly different from his car. But if there is damage to the car, the owner of the car, being overly attached to the car, feels pain. Actually, the damage done to the car has nothing to do with the car's proprietor. But because the proprietor has identified himself with the interest of the car, he feels pleasure and pain connected with it. This conditioned state can be avoided if attachment is withdrawn from the car. Then the proprietor would not feel pleasure or pain if the car is damaged or whatever. Similarly, the soul has nothing to do with the body and the senses, but due to ignorance, he identifies himself with the body, and he feels pleasure and pain due to bodily pleasures, pleasure and pain. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you all for coming to Bhagavatam class this morning. This verse is quite revealing, and I pray that as a group together we may all reflect deeply, and that we may contribute. I pray for the blessings of my godbrothers, and all the devotees that when we say something that is relevant and valuable in our spiritual lives. So here King Rahugana is putting forth an argument about how the soul is affected by things that happen to the body. So how many of us have been affected by things that happen to our body? So, and oftentimes as devotees we think, oh, and how many of us have been affected by things happening even outside of our body? So we often think, oh, this material body is such a bad thing, and this material world is such a horrible place, let me get out of it. Which is not wrong. However, there is a purpose to this material world and to our material bodies. We, at some point in time, ask to see things from another perspective. Instead of seeing Krishna's the center, we wanted to maybe see ourselves as the center. We wanted to get a different perspective. And Krishna gave us facility to do that. So, out of Krishna's loving kindness, he allows us free will to see another perspective. And then we come to this world and we become conditioned. How many of us know what being conditioned feels like? Yeah. And we all have to deal with that. So in actuality, there's really nothing wrong with the material world. There's nothing wrong with our body, and there's really nothing wrong with our mind. There's only one issue that gets us say into trouble or really has us experiencing the trouble of the material world and the body. And what is that?
Desire.
Excuse me?
Desire.
Desire, okay.
Identifying.
Identification with it. Right. The body is actually a really wonderful tool that Krishna designed, and he designed it so wonderfully that we don't really even have to be conscious for it to survive. The mind beats our heart, reminds us to take breaths regularly, it digests our food, you know, does all kinds of wonderful things, heals when we break our arm, it does really wonderful things. We don't even think about it, and it does it. So the body's a really wonderful mechanism created by Krishna. And the only problem is our identification with our body. Now, disidentifying with the body and the mind could be considered difficult, or it could be considered challenging and a practice. So, when we notice our body feeling some pain, oh, my body is feeling some pain. Yes, and since I'm in the body, I may experience some of that by being closely associated with my body. But the pain of my body doesn't have to cause my soul pain. It can just be a body pain. It doesn't have to, I don't have to add extra pain to it by saying, oh, I must be so sinful that I have pain in my body. We can add more pain to it by what we think. We can say, oh, I'm experiencing this pain because Krishna wants to remind me that this material world is a painful place. We can say, Krishna wants me to experience pain because I'm a sentient being. And even in the spiritual world, there is some sort of pain. Not necessarily a bodily pain like that, but there is a sensation of pain. It's a real thing. The material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And dealing with our body and with our mind are important things. Just like when we do own a car, like Prabhupada was explaining in the purport, if the car gets smashed, you know, somebody who's very attached to the car might think, oh, this is so horrible. But that doesn't mean that we are unconscious of the car. It doesn't mean like I'm so detached from the car that it doesn't matter how I drive. The car is a tool to use. So when I use the tool to my best ability, I'm conscious. I put my turn signal off. I follow the speed limit. I try to be respectful of other drivers. I'm conscious. I take care of the car. I get regular maintenance, I make sure there's oil and water in the car, and fuel in the car, I take care of the car. Because it's a wonderful tool. At the same time, if I'm unconscious and don't take care of the car, or I'm so unconscious that I'm driving very unconsciously, not only can the car get hurt, but I may temporarily, as the driver of the car, also feel pain from an accident. So it is important for us to take care of the body, but at the same time, just realize it's a tool, it's a mechanism. Just like our computer is a mechanism, it's a tool. And how many of you have computers and iPhones? And you use them regularly, right, in your service. And sometimes we become attached if we drop them and break them. But these tools are replaceable. If something happens to this material body, I can get another one pretty easily. Material nature will definitely let me get another body. But the soul is something very special. We are given life, we are given a soul, we are given the spirit by Krishna. We are given an identity by Krishna. It's very special. And we can... Did you ever hear the verse? And I think it's in Ishvakanshad about the killer of the soul.
Atman.
What is it?
Atman. I don't know the entire name.
Yeah, it's Sri Ishvakanshad, right?
Atman.
Yeah, the killer of the soul. It means... we're being so unconscious that we're really afflicting the soul with our unconsciousness, and really we're afflicting the soul by identifying with the body and the mind. If we identify with the body and the mind, the soul experiences some pain. If we have a car accident, the driver experiences some pain. So what is the nature of the soul? What really gives the soul satisfaction?
Devotional service.
Service. Service. It is our nature, no matter if we're a devotee or not a devotee, or we're very unconscious, it is our nature to want to make a difference, to serve in some way. And even the person on the street who may be fully intoxicated, it is their nature to want to serve. They really want to serve, but they may be feeling so frustrated at not knowing how to serve or how to make a difference. They want to go unconscious. Because if we can't express our true nature, it's quite frustrating. It's quite frustrating. So everyone in this world is really trying to find out, like, who am I and how can I express my real nature? How can I get in touch with that? And as devotees, it's important for us to maybe fine-tune, because we have the answers, at least theoretically, right? We have all the answers. So how can we apply this knowledge to our everyday life? How can we catch ourselves identifying with our body and our mind? The body's pretty simple. The mind is quite complex and quite intricate. It's really doing a lot of functions. And we're unconscious of those functions. So when we can become more conscious and aware of what our mind is telling us, which is impacting our emotions or feelings, we can say, wait a minute, is what my mind telling me the truth? Do I have to believe in that thought of the mind? Do I have to identify with that thought in the mind? Or can I disidentify with it in this moment, moment by moment, right? What is the most difficult sense to control of all the senses?
The mind.
It's more difficult to control than the
wind.
Right. Who here can control the wind? Who here can control the mind? But it's by constant practice and detachment. Isn't that what Bhagavad Gita says? By constant practice and detachment. But if we're not conscious of what it is that the mind is telling us, we won't be able to detach from it because we won't know what it is that we need to detach from. Just kind of like, you know, the air we breathe. We're totally unconscious that we're breathing in oxygen. But we do it all the time. It's the air. It's what we walk in. It's how we exist. And we're unconscious of it. Similarly, the mind is like an environment of our body carrying past impressions and impressions from this lifetime. It's like the subtle body expressed through the mind, the mental capacity. And it's an environment that we're almost always unconscious of because it's constantly there. It becomes invisible. So how can you deal with an invisible, I'll call it enemy for now, even though it doesn't have to be an enemy. How can you deal with an invisible enemy? How do you contend with it? What do you do with it?
Beating it with a shoe.
But how can you beat it with a shoe if you don't even know where it is? It's like, what is it telling me that I need to beat it for? And then it might talk back, why are you beating me? Right? So I tried the whole beating process thing, and it seemed to actually give the mind a lot more power. Because you're saying that you're affecting me. Well, the mind is not affecting us. We're giving agreement with the mind and identifying with it and being affected, but we're blaming the mind and beating the mind. So we're giving power to the mind. So, but we can take our mind and say, oh, my dear mind, can you tell me what you're telling me right now? Can you identify, mind, my dear mind, can you identify what it is you're telling me right now that has me being so disturbed? Oh, yes, this person just said this, and I made that mean that I'm a bad devotee. And I don't want to be a bad devotee, so I'm being disturbed. Well, is it true that you're a bad devotee? Well, I'm not perfect. Okay. Is it true that you're a bad devotee? Well, I'm trying to be a devotee. Okay. Is it true that you're a bad devotee? Is it the absolute truth that you're a bad devotee? Well, no, actually, I'm spirit soul. Okay, you're spirit soul. So would you like to identify with being a spirit soul, or would you like to identify with being a bad devotee? Oh, I think maybe I'll identify with being spirit soul. Boom. That thought is gone, and it no longer is afflicting you. Because you just disidentified with it. But you couldn't disidentify with it until you identified it. How do we disidentify with something we didn't identify? It's just a practice. It's something that, because I have a highly active mind, It's nonstop. I've learned to use my mind as my friend to help me to understand itself. And when you use your mind to look at your mind is actually pretty happy because it just wants to help you. The mind is only trying to help you survive. It's trying to help you figure out everything. But it's figuring it out from a material perspective. But if I, as the soul director, hey, dear mind, can you tell me what you're telling me right now that I might be identifying with? And I'm so happy. You're engaging me in your service. Thank you, giving me some engagement. Sure, I can tell you. And then you can look at it and observe it. And in the moment, detach from it. It's a practice. But truly, it is an important practice for devotees because the mind is more difficult to control than the wind, and it sweeps us away so often. Just something can happen about in a second. But that's because the mind is trying to protect us from something that it sees threatening to our life. It's actually trying to be our friend, but it's protecting us also from our real identification if we just identify with it. But if we identify, oh, yes, mind, you're trying to protect me from this attack. This person said I was, made a comment about me, it was attacking me. You're trying to protect me from that. But actually, I'm a spirit soul, and I don't really need to be protected from that. So thank you for trying to protect me, but I don't need to protect myself from that. This is part of my purification. And let me take this purification and say thank you, Krishna, for humbling me. And I can gain from that rather than have to defend that. So there's a lot in this verse here as I was reading the translation. Each word, you could give a class on each word. It's so powerful. But I'd also like to hear from all of you what you heard in the verse or what you heard me say that might have been different or new or what you got. What you heard or what you saw that I didn't see. Please, Adipush.
Yeah, and your analysis of the problem is quite accurate and consistent with Sastra, that the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy.
Yeah.
And your question is really appropriate, how to control the mind by constant practice and detachment. Your explanation of what the practice is to control the mind, I would offer something else I've heard.
Well, yes.
It's not in a contract.
No, I know what you're going to say, but go ahead, say it.
The mind has a voice. I like this, I don't like that.
Right.
And according to Shastra, the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the only way to attain pure devotional service.
Right.
So when we're open to the instruction of Guru, we can choose to whether to listen to, I can choose to listen to my mind,
right,
or to listen to what the spiritual master has asked me.
Right.
And that allows us to, it's not enough just to ignore the mind or just make it a self-help program that I will figure out what's wrong with me and then I will correct what I, as far as I understand it, in our position as obedience and surrender and submission and service to the spiritual master, everything else is accomplished, including controlling the mind. The guru says do this, the mind says don't do it. The guru says don't do that, the mind says do it. And then we have a choice of which voice to listen to. So the essential ingredient in our spiritual life is our relationship with the spiritual master.
Absolutely. And I didn't say what I said was fully everything. There's so much more to Krishna consciousness. Chanting helps us to control the mind. And, of course, but the spiritual master and the scriptures do tell us to control the mind. And it's not a passive process, actually. It's an active process. And I'm just offering a suggestion of being actively involved. Because if we just say, oh, Krishna, help me control my mind, and we're not actively participating, he will help us. It may take a longer time. If we're continuing to listen to our mind and simultaneously trying to control it at the same time, it may take a little longer. So I'm just suggesting that when we are conscious, Krishna consciousness means to be conscious. You can't really be Krishna conscious on top of being unconscious. And we can notice when we're unconscious, when we're affected, when we're disturbed, something's going on. So discovering what that is in that moment and detaching from that in the moment is a practice of following the orders of the spiritual master who says, control your mind, think of Krishna. So how can I do that practically in the moment? And sometimes the answer is not so black and white. It may not occur so black and white. The spiritual master says, don't do this. The mind says, do this. Sometimes the mind is quite intelligent and quite tricky. And it might even use scripture to justify you doing something which is very, 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 very subtle sense gratification. But you can justify it, you can prove it, and you can perpetuate your own sense gratification and convince yourself that you're following the instructions of the spiritual master, but subtly you're engaging in sense gratification. Profit, admiration, distinction. Very subtle, quite subtle. So I'm talking about refined, you know, looking at our refined judgments, not like the judgments of, am I going to eat meat or not, but the refined judgments. Am I engaging in some sense gratification here? And what am I trying to get out of this? And why am I trying to get that out of this? So it's refined. Refinement really kind of like looking at the subtleties. Because the subtle is what controls the gross. And if we don't address the subtle body carries us to our next body. So we could be justifying, we could be righteous. I could be a really righteous scholarly preacher, right? Are there many scholarly preachers that are preaching the scriptures in India, right? They're scholarly, they know the verses, they've got it down, they're preaching it, but they're doing it for profit, adoration, and distinction. And so it's not going to have the same impact on the audience or the same impact on their own life. So it's subtle. And I'm just trying to bring that into the view of the audience. Please, Stephanie.
I think this is one of the most fascinating topics. And I really identified with what you said about, you know, not like chastising the mind. That actually kind of propagates negative things happening.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started practicing trying to redirect the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the most overwhelming experiences. It was like I had taken on a new full-time job or something. You know? And but there were people in my life who said, like, every time you're having this thought, it's really Krishna who's like drawing you towards him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an opportunity to ask for help in that moment.
Yeah, in that moment. Yes, please. Krishna, my mind is telling me this. How can I detach from this thought in this moment? I mean, you can certainly ask Krishna to help. You can ask your mind to help. You can ask your God brothers and goddesses. You can ask everybody for help.
In the 12-step program, they say, the mind is like a bad neighborhood. You don't want to go there long.
That's
association, like you say, turning to the association of beliefs, the shastra, the spiritual master.
Thank you. Did anybody else like to say something? Please, Krishna. Krishna Kirtan. Krishna Kripa.
Father Chaitanya Sadhguru was neglecting the mind.
Reflecting.
Neglecting.
Okay, neglecting the mind.
People are talking nonsense, you just can't introduce it. So if the mind's talking nonsense.
Right.
And also, it goes along with your fighting with the mind.
Right.
In its worst.
Beautiful.
Okay, you may think this is really important, but I'm going to chant Hare Krishna and we'll get back to you later.
Perfect. Yeah. That's I use that example a lot with Haridas Thakur. When the prostitute came to him, he didn't engage with her. He didn't say, oh, you're Maya, you're nonsense. He didn't, like, make her wrong. He didn't engage with her. He said, thank you for the proposal. Interesting proposal. Right now, I'm chanting, and I'm committed to this. You can sit here or you can go away, but this is what I'm doing right now. So it's just like that, like a, and he did acknowledge her, though. He didn't just, like, ignore her. It's good to say thank you to the mind, because then it's kind of, and you tell the mind to wait. If you argue with the mind, it'll argue back. If you agree with the mind, it's got you. But if you tell your mind to wait, okay, it waits. It doesn't have to argue back with you, and it doesn't perpetuate it. So that was a really good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Do you want to say something else?
Well, the other, another suggestion next is to fix the mind of Krishna. The Avanti Brahmana chapter of the 11th connection.
Yes, I love that chapter.
Yeah.
My favorite.
He realizes that all the things that are going on to him is just the uncontrolled mind. And then at the end, he decides to fix his mind and put on the
heart
to solve all his problems.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the other thing. And when the mind says something, we can say, okay, Krishna, what do you want me to do? We can ask, you know, a question, what do you want me to do, Krishna? My mind's telling me this. You know, because sometimes it's so subtle, it's a little confusing. The mind might make it like, this is Krishna conscious. So it's not always so black and white. So always asking again for help. Krishna, oh, Krishna. Yes, another point? Do you have another point?
No,
okay, that was really good. Thank you. Those two points are the things that I really like a lot, and I really love the chapter on the Avanti Brahmana.
Chula Bhakti notes, of course, says, my dear mind, thou art not a Vaishnava.
Thou art not a Vaishnava. Thou art a machine that's trying to protect me from dying. But I will die, so you will not be successful. But do you think you could help me in the meantime engage in some service?
Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there's a sense object in Jnani Paramaha, and then above that there's the senses. My fingers can feel the texture of the wall. It's smooth, it's rough, I like it, it's cool, it's hot. And then above the senses is the mind.
Uh-huh.
I like it, I don't like it. But then it says above the mind is the intelligence.
Right.
Intelligence, Krishna's intelligence. Guru is giving us intelligence. Intelligence says whether I like it or not, take this medicine, whether I like it or not, this is my prescribed duty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if the intelligence transcends the mind. Like, the mind says, I like it, I don't like it, I like it, I don't like it. The intelligence says, forget whether you like it or not.
You gotta do it.
Krishna says, to Arjuna, fight for me. Forget about all gain and safety. Do this on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be attached to the results of what this action is, but do it because this is what I'm asking you to do. So the instruction of Guru and Krishna is what really what it protects us from the mind.
Well, that's when we also distinguish that we have a choice. Sometimes understanding what the mind is telling us, because sometimes it's so quick. It's telling us something, we're engaging in it, we didn't even know that we chose it. It was just by default that we chose that. We didn't recognize it. We just did something by default, which had an impact, which wasn't Krishna conscious. So it's helpful to understand our own machinery. It says in Bhagavad Gita to understand the material side by side with the spiritual, so you can distinguish the difference, especially the fine-tuning differences. And you may have different thought processes than I do, so for you to understand your own mind with your intelligence, it's an important thing to do. I think it's time to stop. Thank you so much for your kind attention and your contributions. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to all these devotees.
Yeah.